This is Audible.
Alexis Audiobooks presents the unabridged recording of Road to Nowhere, the Good Old Boys spin-off, written by M. Robinson, performed by Olivia Patterson and Connor Goff.
Prologue. Creed. Me a rider. Me a fucking rider. I sat at the train tracks, desperately trying not to think about her, but it was easier said than done. She came into my life like a fucking hurricane, destroying everything in her path. A girl from the right side of the tracks, which for some reason I could never fucking fathom. Falling for a man like me. I made mistakes. Too many to fucking count, but life didn't give you a do-over. All that was left for me to do was to accept them, even fucking embrace them. They became a part of me as much as every tattoo that covered my body. Every one of them meant something to me. They were my battle scars, far worse than the ones I got in war. In the eyes of others, they were just colorful, intricate art. But to me, they were my solace and my pain. Nothing had changed the last time I fucking lived in this godforsaken town. No welcome home party from family or friends. No thanks or parades from the town residents for serving our country. Nothing. Not one fucking thing. Everything I had done for my family. For the MC, for her. I fought for my fucking brothers. I fought for my goddamn country. I fought for my girl. Never realizing I might fucking die for them too. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and all that fucking shit. I once read that every warrior hoped a good death would find him. I always went looking for mine, but not even the Reaper wanted me. I thought fighting for something I believed in would make me a good man. In the end, it never mattered. I would always be on the wrong side of the tracks. They would always leave me to the wrong station. Changing my people, places, and things throughout the years didn't help change the outcome of the choices I'd made, of the things I'd done. At the end of the day, I was already nailed to the cross. I was fucking born on it.
Chapter 1. Creed. It ain't gonna suck itself, sweetheart, I stated with a predatory regard, eyeing the busty blonde up and down. She was a new club whore with a banging body, huge tits, heart-shaped ass, way too much fucking makeup on her mousy face. She'd been eye fucking the shit out of me since she showed up at the clubhouse a few days ago. I was never much for dabbling in the club bunnies that bounce from one cock to another, but that didn't stop me from letting them suck my cock. After the day I'd had, I fucking earned it.
Here, on your back?
She coyly asked, gazing all around her, trying to pretend like she'd never done this before. We were tucked behind a row of trees on the club's property, my go-to spot for quickies, and the only place I could ride to on my bike. A pops gave me a sleek Harley-Davidson Sportster for my 16th birthday almost 2 years ago. I'm pretty sure it didn't pay for it, but who was I to complain? It was a slick-looking bike. It had all matte black components, custom fenders, seat, and gas tank with the club logo painted on it, not to mention the killer engine and exhaust system, visible on the sides, a set of shortened handlebars, and a massive front headlight that completed the badass machine. Clubhouse is barely visible in the distance, making it impossible for anyone to see us. Not that I gave a flying fuck.
You said you wanted to hang out.
No, sweetheart, I chuckled. What I said was I had something hanging for you. Gesturing to my cock, her eyes widened, dark and dilated, biting her pouty red lip that I couldn't wait to have wrapped around my dick. Can see how you would confuse that, though, I sarcastically added, grabbing a strand of her fake platinum blonde hair. Women's place in Nemesis' life was always in the fucking background. The club came first, no matter what. We all carried the same principles. Honor, respect, and brotherhood. Family made up of ruthless motherfuckers right down to their goddamn bones. All led by the shadiest son of a bitch known to man. My pops. He was the president of the mother chapter, Devil's Rejects, in Southport, North Carolina. The first chapter established, making him the top fucking dog of the MC. Even though every chapter below had a president of their own, they couldn't make executive decisions without his final approval. Getting a visit from him only ended in death. He'd only step in if he was fucking crossed or shit hit the fan in a catastrophic way. Other than that, the chapters did whatever the fuck they wanted. It was a fucking free-for-all. My old man could do no wrong in everyone's eyes, when in reality, That was all he ever fucking did. Cops' pockets were greased dirty money to turn a blind eye to all our illegal activities. Everywhere we went, people looked the opposite direction and moved the fuck out of our way. Devil's Rejects were known to all and spread out all over the community, the state, even nation fucking wide. Everywhere. The only enemy we had was the law. She smirked, cocking her head to the side, slowly licking her luscious lips as she casually reached for the front of my vest, teasingly skimming her long red fingernails down the front of it, never taking her sinful eyes off mine. Creed, I murmured, wanting to hear my name fall from her lips.
I know your name, Creed. Mine's...
not fucking important, yeah. She arched an eyebrow, looking down at the rugged fabric of my cut. Our black leather vests, or cuts as we call them, were the MC's brand, our signature trademark recognized by everyone, especially women and civilians. They were each chapter's identification, who we were and what we stood for. On the back of our cuts were the club's colors, badass-looking tattoo pinup girl with huge fucking tits sporting devil ears and a tail, straddling the custom chopper holding a skull with flames beating out of its eyes in one hand and an AK-47 rifle in the other. Above the logo was a crescent-shaped red patch that read Devil's Rejects in black acid lettering.
Below the logo was another crescent-shaped patch with Southport NC stitched on it.
On the front left of our cut was a 1% patch that was worn with fucking pride, indicating we were outlaws. There were no rules to follow unless it came to the club or our brothers. Fucking laws became obsolete. Devil's Rejects have been around since the 40s and have more than proven their loyalty to the MC world, quickly becoming one of the most feared clubs in society, one of the select few that was branded as a 1% club. We were die-hard bikers who would stop at nothing, even murder, prove ourselves worthy. Honorable fucking killers. I've seen the brutality firsthand. It's not a pretty sight. Fucking Neanderthals, not to be fucked with or else. Nothing happened in Southport without our knowledge or control. Not one damn thing. Our cuts were our holy grail. Her fingers skimmed the right front panel of my cut, over my MC patch that only true motorcycle clubs sported. Never see this on a hog's vest, because let's face it, they're just a bunch of pussy-ass wannabe riders on expensive bikes, never willing to get their fucking hands dirty.
Where are the rest of your patches, Creed?
She purred.
All the other bikers have years lined up under this MC patch here. Haven't served much time, huh?
I narrowed my eyes at her, growing more annoyed and irritated as the seconds passed. I was never one for fucking chit-chat.
You don't talk much, do you?
I pointed to the name Prospect stitched on the right of my cut. My name and rank would be as soon as I turned 18. The black leather was a blank canvas for now, but eventually it would be filled with random duty patches scattered round, all representing what I had done and what I'd fucking do for the club and the brothers. For now, I was at the bottom of the fucking chain, itching for my day to come. I couldn't really complain much, though. Having my old man as prez definitely had its fucking perks. Respect was one of them. Anyone fucking crossed me, they'd be crossing pops, too. Fucking death wish you didn't want to sign up for. I spent the last 17 years of my life watching him rule with an iron fist, annihilating what so many Jameson men built before him. My future was sealed the day my parents found out I had a cock. I would follow in the long line of men in my family, taking over as MC prez one day. As of right now, I was just another fucking prospect doing the shit jobs I didn't want to do, making myself available at all hours, whether it was to dig a fucking grave, get my hands dirty in more ways than one, or going on a fucking food run for the lazy bastards. I'd seen and done more shit than my mother would ever be proud of. That never mattered. I was thrown in with the wolves too many goddamn times to count, just to see if I would come out alive. I did every fucking time, with a fat-ass smile on my motherfucking face, just as ruthless as the rest of the Brotherhood. I was proving myself worthy to the club, mostly to my father. He wouldn't just let me sign my life away. He wanted my fucking blood on it, holding the shit I had done for the club over my head, reminding me, if I ever stepped out of line, just how easy it would be for him to use the leverage he had to make me march right back in line where I belong, following him, the prez. His rules, his authority, his final word, once again. One day soon I'll patch in as a brother, whether I wanted to or not. It wasn't a lifestyle, it was a way of life. The only one I'd ever known. I slipped my hand behind her neck, gripping tight and tugging her toward me, not moving from the place I sat on my bike. causing a gasp to escape from her lips at the sudden change in my demeanor. Patience was never one of my fucking virtues. It was a Jameson trait that ran deep in my blood. I determined the who, what, when, and where in life. Anyone who didn't approve could go fuck themselves. Bottom line, I lived and breathed for my mother and my baby brothers, Luke, who was 14 years old, and Noah, who was 11. Everything else was just a means to an end for me.
Shh,
silencing her with my index finger, brought my mouth inches away from her lips. Her breathing hitched the closer I got. My warm breath assaulting her senses. Only thing I want from this mouth, I paused, pecking her lips, is for it to be wrapped around my cock, I rasped, emphasizing the last words I guided my thumb into her pouting mouth. She sucked it like a goddamn pro, eagerly reaching for my belt and unbuckling it. Good girl, I praised, removing my thumb with a pop, guiding her closer to me by the nook of her neck. Now pull out my cock, I groaned into her ear, causing her skin to immediately warm under my touch. She did as she was told with unsteady hands, never taking her eyes off mine. I didn't know her fucking name. I didn't care to learn neither. None of these girls mattered. Besides, I was never in a fucking group of names. Stroke it. Harder. I ordered as I continued to kiss down her neck to her tits that were on full display.
Like this.
She breathed out. I groaned, cupping her breasts and burying my face in them. Yeah, babe. Just like that. I groaned into her breasts, jerking her head back by her hair, lowering her to the ground, not letting go until she was on her fucking knees in front of me. She suddenly released my cock when I placed my own hand around my shaft, stroking myself up and down in front of her face. She looked up at me with hooded eyes, craving to taste me. I continued to jerk myself off until she sucked the head of my cock into her greedy mouth, moving down toward the base of my shaft, taking me in, inch by inch. Deeper, I demanded, gripping into a fistful of her hair. She gagged as soon as I felt the back of her throat, but her hand never stopped working me over, making it easy to quickly find a rhythm that had my head slightly leaning back and my mouth parting. My eyes remained focused on her as she sucked my cock like she had something to prove. Her hand followed the movements of her mouth while her other hand tugged at my balls simultaneously. My breathing became erratic, fueling my need to rock my hips in the opposite direction of her heady movements, wanting nothing more to take full control and fuck her face. "Gonna come," I growled. I wasn't a complete asshole. I at least gave her a fucking warning. She tried to remove her lips off my cock, but I gripped onto the back of her head, shoving it deeper, moving my hips forward one last time and coming hard in the back of her throat. Shaking out my release, I pulled my dick from her mouth with a pop. "Swallow," I sternly ordered. She peeked up at me through her lashes, immediately doing as she was told, wiping the corners of her mouth, trying to fix her red lipstick that was now painted all over my cock. I tucked myself back into my pants and buckled my belt when she seductively glided her way up my body, going right for my mouth. I jerked back. "If I wanted to taste my cum, I'd lick it right off your face, sweetheart. Got a little something right here," I gestured to the corner of my lip. She pulled away, snarling.
"Fuck you."
I grinned, scoffing out. "No thanks. Got requirements for that position. You obviously don't fucking qualify, darling."
"You ass."
"Creed," I heard Luke's voice echo through the trees. "You out there?" I rubbed my bike a few times, getting ready to take off.
"What the hell? You just gonna leave me out here?"
She stomped her foot like a 3-year-old, reminding me exactly why I never stayed around after my balls were empty. "Use those legs for something other than just spreading them open," I crudely mocked, riding off. Hearing her scream something or other behind me, I sped up the path into the clearing and making my way over to Luke, who had a shit-eating grin on his face when he came into sight. He shook his head. "Another one? That's number 3, and it's only Friday," he called out over the rumbling noise of my bike. "Mind your business, little brother." He rolled his eyes, kicking some gravel beneath his shoes. "What are you doing here? Just get out of school? Where's Ma?" I questioned, pulling up right in front of him, using the toe of my black combat boot to flip out the kickstand. I should have been in school, too. Instead, I was riding around all fucking day, getting everything in order for the club meeting. I was already falling behind in most of my classes and skipping all the damn time. I refused to sit in that hellhole and be told what to do by a bunch of teachers who didn't give a flying fuck about me. Not like I needed an education for my future. She's inside taking care of business with Dad,
I chuckled, pointing to the clubhouse. Chris is in there. He ain't gonna be happy she came uninvited again. Is he ever happy? I laughed, knowing he was right. Chrissa was one of Pop's main fucks. She was another whore barely off her mama's tit. I witnessed my old man fucking club whores more times than I cared to fucking count. The bastard never bothered hiding the fact that he stuck his cock in every slut that spread her legs for him. I couldn't pinpoint a time when he wasn't cheating on my mother, and she wasn't crying herself to sleep over his infidelities. You'd think after so many acts of betrayals, she'd wake the fuck up and leave him. Instead, she stuck right by his side, acting like nothing was wrong, giving him more sons, probably hoping that was enough to prove her loyalty to him in the club. Which was a crock of shit, if you ask me. Or maybe she just wanted to remind everyone that she was still his old lady, except old ladies weren't allowed on the property unless invited, usually during big parties when they were eating in the kitchen where they belonged, cooking for the members. On those days, it was a free-for-all. The rule allowed the brothers freedom not to worry about catfights that would break out due to their dicks getting wet by a pussy that wasn't their wives. The old ladies thought their men were keeping their cocks tucked in their pants they deserved to be cheating on for being so fucking stupid. Ma already knew what Pops was up to. It wasn't a secret. He didn't give a fuck how it made her feel. He knew she had too much to lose by leaving him. Leaning back, I killed the engine on my bike and grabbed a pack of smokes from the front of my cut, placing the nicotine-fueled stick between my lips, lighting it up, and blowing the smoke into the air, away from Luke. He hated the smell of cigarettes, giving me shit for years and how I was killing myself slowly with every puff or some bullshit like that. He finally gave up recently, knowing I was a lost cause. Smoking was my vice, quickly becoming addicted to the nicotine that calmed me. My refuge from the shitstorm I lived in. I was exposed to it all my life. Everyone around me smoked like fucking fiends, one cigarette after another. I took my first drag when I was 11, and shortly after that I smoked my first joint with the brothers. It wasn't all that bad. I couldn't have gotten into much worse shit. Drugs and booze were prevalent in my daily life just as much as the women were. My body was already covered in ink. Just another one of my vices. What's up? I asked, sitting the cigarette on the corner of my lips.
Well, I mean, he stumbled over his words, shuffling his feet around, looking everywhere but at me.
Out with it, Luke. He visibly took a deep breath, finally locking eyes with me and blurted,
I need some advice.
I cocked my head, curious.
On, you know, life and stuff.
Pussy, I stated with raised eyebrows, cutting to the chase.
Never mind, forget it.
He abruptly turned to walk away from me, but I wasn't going to let him get away that easy. I got off my bike and grabbed him from the arm. Not so fast. Spill. He turned back around to face me.
How do you know I want to talk about a girl?
I grinned, letting go. It's always about a girl. You hitting it or you want to hit it.
I got a girl, Creed.
You got a dick, Luke. That's what you got. Stop pussyfooting around and tell me what I can advise you on, other than whether or not you're going to put it in. Sure as fuck better put it on, I reminded, referring to him wrapping it up.
Yeah, I know.
Gonna be 15 soon. Ball's got to drop any day now.
I mean, when did you...
11. Woke up in the middle of the night with my dick in her mouth. Lasted about 20 seconds when she started riding me. I laughed, remembering how much of a one-pump chump I was.
Was she...
Couldn't tell you what she looked like in the dark. Pops needed to make sure his firstborn son loved pussy as much as he does and he wasn't raising a homo. He jerked back, surprised by my revelation. Those were the exact words my father had used next morning. I reminded him that I was only 11, which earned me a backhand to the face, telling me I should be thanking him for what he provided, not mouthing off. I shook off the memory.
It's okay, Luke. Can't rape the willing, I smirked.
I'll always be honest with you. Not gonna sugarcoat shit. Ain't got the time or patience for that. Had to learn things the hard way. Don't want that for you. Everything I do is for Ma, you, and Noah. Don't you ever fucking forget it. We're all in this life for the long run, left to deal with our shitty luck. It wasn't Luke or Noah's fault. They didn't ask to be born in this fucked up world any more than I did. I would die for my baby brothers, and a part of me still held on to the hope that they wouldn't have to live this life forever. Deep down, I knew I was a goddamn fool, just like my mother. She was holding on to the notion of a better husband and father while I was holding on to the notion of a better life. Pops would give his last dying breath for his sons to follow in his footsteps. Come hell or high water, he had no say in our destiny. It was already mapped out for us. Especially mine.
I know, I really like her, you know. I don't want to mess it up.
So you're saying this ain't about pussy, it's about love?
I chuckled uncomfortably. He nodded, placing his hands in his pockets. Wait for what? I wasn't sure. I walked past him to sit on the top of the old wooden picnic table in the far back of the clubhouse, resting my elbows on my knees, flicking the ashes from my cigarette down to the grass, trying like hell to come up with some genuine advice for him, thinking back to all the chick flicks my mother would watch with envy, same shit over and over, boy meets a girl, boy asks girl to marry him, and they live happily ever after with 3 kids, a dog, and a white picket fence. Bunch of fucking bullshit that wasn't real life, but there had to be something I could pull out of my ass to tell him. Look, Luke, don't think I'm the best person to be asked love advice from. Love is, well, love is fucking... I shrugged, taking another drag of my cigarette, not knowing what to say. The sounds of motorcycle engines revving suddenly filled the air around us from the front of the clubhouse. Soon this place would be crawling with the elite of the fucking elite, and I was due inside at any second. It's fine, just go. I know you have obligations with the pops in the club, he sighed, disappointed, watching me twist my watch around my wrist. I ignored him. You like her? Like, want to date her and see where it goes, yeah? Yes, he simply stated, hopping up onto the table next to me. She's different, Creed. Not like the girls from around here, that's for sure, he admitted, rubbing the back of his neck, trying to act like a man when he was still such a kid. I don't think I would ever be able to see my baby brothers for anything other than my responsibility. It had been that way since the day they were born. My mother wasn't a bad mom, she just had too much of her own shit to worry about. At the end of the day, she just didn't know any better. Raising 3 boys wasn't easy, and my dad was no help. All she did was fall for a guy from the wrong side of the tracks, getting knocked up young with me, trying to grow up ever since. She did love us, though, and tried to show us affection often, making up for my father's lack of. He didn't give a shit about anything but the MC. She's just moved here from Dallas, Texas, Luke informed, pulling me away from my thoughts. I took another drag of my cigarette, flicking it out in front of me. Her daddy's in some kind of sales. Makes good money, that's for sure. She wears nice clothes every day, has long brown hairs, blue eyes, and smells so fucking good. I smiled, glancing over at him, watching his face light up as he talked about his girl. I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me proud that he wanted to do right by her, that her upbringing hadn't jaded his thoughts about women in love like it had me. Anyway, we've been hanging out at school. I haven't even kissed her yet, so I just figured he had a lot of experience with girls. Maybe you could give me some advice. I have wanted to ask you if maybe you could pick her up tomorrow night and drop us off at the movies? I'd ask Ma, but... She'd embarrass the shit out of you. We both laughed, knowing it was the truth. Tell me if I'm following. You don't want to just fuck her, but you want to play fucking house, yeah? He leaned forward, cocking his head to the side and nodded. Feeling okay? I reached over, trying to feel his forehead. He jumped down from the table out of my reach. Oh, you're Jameson, right? I laughed. Fuck you. Forget about it. Forget I ever said anything. I'll figure this out on my own, douchebag. Shoved my shoulder and I immediately groaned in pain, grabbing onto it, trying to deter the throbbing ache. Ah, hell. Can't take a joke now, little brother? Man up, I let out, laughing it off. What happened to you? He instantly asked, reaching over, pulling my hand, cut, and shirt away from my shoulder. Why is your shoulder all bandaged up? Luke, I'm fine. Bullshit. Did you get shot at? Where's Dad sending? I pushed him away. Don't need babying, Luke. I'm fine. Promise. I reassured, holding 3 fingers in the air. Scout's honor. So when are you a Boy Scout? Say, eat a fucking brownie. Now get your skinny ass back over here and finish what you were saying. He chuckled even though he was still worried, sitting back down next to me. Do you know how you feel? I questioned, changing the subject. I think so. Then go for her, Luke. You like her, you show her. Treat her with respect. Simple as that. Think and act with your brain and heart. I rested my hand on his chest. Instead, you're a cock. Nudging his shoulder. You feel me? Took a deep breath, contemplating what to say next. I narrowed my eyes at him. I also want to give her this. What do you think? He reached up, unhooking the chain from around his neck. I knew exactly what he was referring to before he even showed me. Pops has given all us boys a Saint Columbanus, the patron saint of motorcyclists when we were born, a medallion on a silver chain. It was supposed to keep us safe, protected, and signify the life that we were born into. The MC life. The back of each medallion had the time we were born engraved on it with the words ride or die. When we were babies, Mom would pin the medallion to our onesies, but as we got older, we wore it around our necks. Luke, I don't think... There you are, you piece of shit.
Pop's voice bellowed from the back screen door, interrupting me. You fucking deaf? Now I hear the bikes pulling up? Get your ass inside right now before I think twice on letting you attend.
Pops, it was my fault,
Luke interfered. Don't, put my hand up, silencing him. Did I tell you to speak? You are just like your fucking ma. I will speak when not spoken to. You're weak and worthless like her, too. Came through the door, down the three steps, grabbing Luke by his shirt and pulling him from the table, knocking his necklace out of his hand, making it fall to the dirt below me. Do I need to teach you another lesson, boy? I could see Luke's hands working into fists, his face flushed and his jaw clenched like he was about to say something he'd surely fucking regret.
You're a dick, Luke muttered under his breath.
What was that? Pop stepped closer to his face. I got up, stabbing my cigarette out on the wood, immediately grabbing Luke by his arm, yanking him out of Dad's grasp. I stepped up, placing Luke securely behind me. Ain't his fault. My fuck-up won't happen again, I gritted out, trying to remain calm. Luke, walk away. I spun, shoving him back. Come on, boy, don't be a pussy. Spit it out. What'd you say? Dad antagonized further, needing to take out his aggression on someone. Usually me. I gave Luke a stern look, warning him to keep his goddamn mouth shut. Last thing I wanted was to go hand and fist with our father, but I would be if he put his hands on my brothers or mother in front of me. I think a part of him knew not to cross that line with me, which is why he never hit them in my presence. But that never stopped him from unleashing his wrath through his fists nonetheless.
Nothing, sir, Luke replied, understanding my silent warning.
Now run along. The real men have important business to take care of. When you grow a pair of fucking balls, you'll be able to play too, he provoked, wanting to have the last word. Pops watched Luke walk in the direction of Ma's car, where she was standing with nothing but pain and regret in her eyes. It was always worse when she tried to defend us. His anger would just turn to her. Furious he was trying to raise us into a bunch of pussies, when all he was trying to do was make us into men. I reached down, grabbing Luke's necklace, shoving it in my pocket before Dad saw, making a mental note to give it back to my brother later. He nodded to me. Get your ass inside. With that, he turned and walked up the back steps.
Thanks, baby,
Mom called out when he was back inside, bringing my attention to her. I smiled, waving her off, looking at Noah, who was sitting in the passenger seat, just shaking his head. She kissed Luke's cheek and whispered something in his ear I couldn't make out. I took a long, deep, reassuring breath, looking at the only thing that was ever truly important to me, my family. After I watched them drive off, my eyes went back to the clubhouse. The president called in church, and I wasn't talking about the one where you sit in the chapel, praying to the Lord above, asking forgiveness for your sins. Because God didn't want us. And hell would spit us the fuck out.
Chapter 2 Creed. I walked inside the old machine warehouse that was converted into the clubhouse decades ago. The rundown building was in the middle of nowhere, just outside of town with nothing but acres of open fields surrounding it. It was its own organization, governed by its own laws. The exterior was painted black with a massive mural of the club's logo on the front of the warehouse. Over the large steel door was a club's plaque that read Devil's Rejects MC, Southport, North Carolina. The building also housed several small loft apartments where club members would fuck the whores who were always hanging around, or using for crashing occasionally. Some members even used them as their homes. Club whores were prevalent in the MC, fucking any brother at any given time. At times, we would get girls passing through town just looking for a bad boy and a good fucking time, knowing they'd find it here. There were a couple girls who were nice. They just had a rough go at life and found shelter in this fucking place. The majority of them, though, were bouncing around from one cock to the next, hoping one of the brothers would be stupid enough to make them their old lady one day. You keep your fucking mouth shut, understand me? Dad threatened in a tone I was all too familiar with, standing next to my post outside the door. Gonna let me in? I replied, cocking my head to the side, referring to the meeting. After what you did for the club today, you fucking earned it. He patted my back. You'll be 18 soon. You won't have problems anymore. You'll stand where you're meant to be. By me, son. By fucking me, he stated with pride. I just nodded. I took my position outside the door, standing guard and confiscating our guests' weapons and phones before they walked into the room, an action necessary when civilians attended meetings. All the patched-in brothers took their places at the long rectangle table where brothers sat on the right and guest attendees on the left. My father always sat at the head of the table with his gavel in front of him. Usually, these meetings, church as we call them, were always the same.
Alongside him was Vice President Stryker, been with the MC for over 2 decades. He was more than my father's right-hand man. They were like blood brothers, having grown up together.
I grew up with his son, but wasn't really a fan of the bastard.
Personally, I always thought their friendship was all a crock of shit. Then there was Diesel. He went from being a nomad to the sergeant of arms. Nomads are the Grim Reapers. They worked for the club, killing anyone we said had to go without a second fucking thought or explanation. He took me to my first titty club when I was 14. Even bought me a fucking lap dance with a happy ending from the young brunette with powder lips, a luscious ass, and tight pussy. He was a brother I was the closest with. Below his title was Stone, the secretary. He transferred over from the Arizona chapter and been with us since last year. I'm pretty sure he was responsible for buying my bike for Pops. He was in his mid-20s and never spoke much, but when he did, he would have you laughing your ass off. He was the funniest son of a bitch I ever met, cracking jokes in the most inappropriate times. He liked pussy as much as he liked making people laugh. The women flocked to him for his sense of humor alone. Last but not least was Phoenix, the treasure of Devil's Rejects. He counted our money as much as he did our goddamn drugs. I got my first tattoo when I was 10 years old from that cokehead, acquiring several more pieces of ink from him since. I stopped counting how many a few years ago. It was hard to say no when he offered all the damn time. He was a dope-ass artist who was high as fuck all the time, but only made him better at what he did. Monthly meetings with just the patched-in brothers are less formal compared to the ones when civilians attended. Pops preferred that Church of Business Associates be held on our turf, so he could still remain in control. In case shit ever hit the fan, which happened from time to time, the brothers would have direct shots from across the table. Not only were each of them loaded, there were guns rigged under the table where they sat as well. No one went in strapped other than the brothers. No one. Finish up here. Should only be a few more we're expecting. Gonna start in about 15 minutes. Lock the artillery up and come in. Stand in the back, pay attention, keep your fucking mouth shut, you hear? I nodded again, not really listening to a damn word he said, focusing on getting the guns checked. He walked into the meeting room, and just as I was about to lock up shop, I saw a black limo with dark-tinted windows pulling up to the front and the security screen above the door. I didn't have to fucking guess who it was. I knew exactly who sat behind the glass. His driver got out and opened the back passenger door, letting out several men, including a tall man with jet-black hair and tan skin, only confirming what I already knew. Alejandro Martinez. He was a corrupt gangster straight out of New York City. He was feared by everyone who had ever crossed paths with him. They called him El Diablo or some shit. I didn't care for him. I never had. But he was the only man I ever saw my father somewhat cower down to, which probably should have meant something to me. It didn't. He'd show up from time to time unannounced, stepping out of his chauffeur limo, wearing his fancy fucking suits and designer shoes, not a hair out of place. Always rolling up deep with several bodyguards at his sides, all of them strapped and ready to kill, or be killed, for him. I couldn't figure out why my old man was wary of him. To me, he just looked like a pussy hiding behind an expensive suit and his man. Pops couldn't figure out that Martinez worked for us, not the other way around. The MC was a supplier for guns and sometimes drugs. He needed us, plain and simple. He buttoned his suit jacket, covering up the guns he had holstered underneath, and signaled for his men to stay put like fucking dogs, heeling behind their goddamn owner. "Well, if it isn't Creed Jameson," Martinez announced, walking through the steel door toward me. "Last time I saw you, you were still on your mama's tit." He paused, eyeing me up and down with a patronizing regard. "Very nice tits, if I remember correctly," he baited, standing tall in front of me with his hands in the pocket of his slacks, the smug look plastered on his fucking face. "Do you know who I am, son?" I didn't falter. I didn't give a flying fuck who he was. No one came onto my turf disrespecting my mother. "Not your son," I nodded through a clenched jaw, crossing my arms over my chest, sizing him up. I'd be lying if I said his solid muscular build, evident through his black three-piece suit, hadn't taken me back a little. We were the exact same size, 6'3", broad and stocky, except I had fucking youth on my side. Martinez had to be in his late 40s, but still had that pretty boy fucking face. "I know exactly who you are," I stated, not backing down, speaking my goddamn mind. "A pussy who hides behind his expensive fucking suits. Those goons suck your cock, too." He let out a throaty laugh, his head falling back. "You have a set of real brass balls, son," he mocked, trying to brush past me, bumping into my shoulder.
I stiff-armed him with my good arm right across his chest, stopping him before he reached the door. "Gonna need you to hand over all your guns," I peered down at him, "including that Glock strapped to your leg." "Aren't you cute?" he grinned. "Fuck I am, you little shit. I'm already going in without my men. I'm not handing over my guns, especially to a hot-headed little dick whose fucking balls have barely dropped. You want to step up to me? I won't hesitate to put a fucking bullet in one of those balls," he spewed close to my face. I didn't waver, grabbing onto the lapels of his suit, getting right up into his face. "Read the sign, motherfucker. No weapons beyond this point. You respect the club, or you get the fuck out." I smiled, releasing him, smoothing out the wrinkles I caused, looking him straight in the eyes. "Let's try this again. Hand over your guns," I repeated in a cocky tone. "The fuck is going on out here?" Pops roared, barreling through the double doors, stopping when he was face to face with Martinez. "I'm disappointing, Jameson. You should really teach your boy here some manners. Or should I teach him some for you?" Martinez snarled, arching an eyebrow, reaching into his suit jacket. My father looked from him to me and back to him again. "I suggest you tell this little ankle-biter to shut the fuck up and let me pass. I'm your boss. I'm either coming in loaded or I'm not coming in at all." "I apologize for my son's behavior. I forgot to tell him you're the only exception. It won't happen again." "Damn right it won't. He won't live to talk about it if it does," Martinez threatened, only glaring at me. Dad eyed me. "Creed, stand down, boy. Martinez is a guest in this club. He doesn't need to check his weapons." I jerked back. "Are you shitting me?" I scoffed out, caught off guard by his response. "Creed, enough. I will deal with you later. Martinez, come on in. We're just about to start." He gestured toward the door. Martinez walked past, body checking me in the shoulder, causing me to wince from the shooting pain radiating down my arm. I didn't sway, standing tall, resisting the urge to slam up against the wall and fuck up his pretty boy face. My pissed off old man followed close behind him, shooting me a warning with his glare. I backed away, shaking my head, surprised by the turn of events. I locked up the weapons and followed them in, closing the door behind me, taking my place by the far wall, right where I could keep an eye on the motherfucker from across the room. Martinez grinned like a fucking fool when he saw me, leaning back into his chair. Crossing his ankle over his leg, he unbuttoned his suit jacket, allowing the entire room to see that he was still locked and loaded, fueling my anger. He placed his hand on the table. "Since when do we let children attend the meetings?" he taunted. "Since old fucks like you..." Pops cleared his throat, bringing his attention back to him. The looks could kill. I'd be lying in a pool of my own blood at that moment. Surrendering my hands, I shut my fucking mouth, even though I had so much more to say. The gavel sounded three times, announcing church was now in session, silencing all the banter going on around the room, bringing everyone's focus to the prez. It was the first time I was ever allowed in on church with other associates present, and I watched with a fascinated regard as my father took center stage. His demeanor read nothing but dominance and control, portraying the perfect image of the fearless, powerful, envied leader that he so desperately clung on to. The older I got, the more my mother loved to remind me how I was a spitting image of him, from our deep-set gray eyes, narrow face, high cheekbones, square jaw, and pointed nose, to our stubborn, bull-headed personalities. With our dark brown hair that was always long on the top and shaved on the sides, reminded me of a military cut. Only Pop said was speckled with grays. We were both tall, slender, and had ripped, tattooed bodies. He would have me work out with him since my voice changed and I was able to carry my own, teaching me how to shoot everything from handguns to assault rifles, hitting targets at 75 yards out since I was 14. "Let's just cut through the bullshit and get right to the problem at hand. Disagreements have arisen in the past few weeks, which led us to find out a group called Sinners Rejoice had stepped foot into our territory, trying to steal our business, our women, and acting as if they are one of us. Going as far as using our goddamn name." He paused, looking around the room until his intense stare fell on a striker. "You wouldn't happen to know anything about these allegations, would you?" All eyes went to Striker, our VP, and probably one of the shadiest son of bitches and devil's rejects. He stood, just in his balls, shoving more chewing tobacco in his mouth before replying, "Ain't heard shit, Prez, but tell me who I need to find and I'll have that fucker in the ground before dawn." Pop's laughter echoed through the room. "I beg to differ, motherfucker." The lights dimmed and a picture illuminated on the far wall behind my father.
I didn't have to look at the images and know what they were. I spent the last few weeks trailing his ass, taking those exact pictures. The same reason why my old man was so fucking proud of me. So tell me, Stryker, what the fuck do you think you're doing in those pictures? Cause it sure as shit ain't selling Girl Scout cookies.
It ain't what it looks like, Prez, he stated, looking at the images of him with rival gang members leaning into each other, exchanging words.
Is that right?
My father drawled out.
What about this one? It ain't what it looks like either.
Another picture clicked over to Stryker, handing the same man an external USB stick. One picture after another, adding to the incriminating evidence that slowly brought down a trusted member. Stryker put his hands up in a surrendering gesture.
No, 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 there's a misunderstanding.
My father stood.
You what? Gave the enemy intel? Betrayed every single person in this room? What, Stryker?
He walked to the opposite side of the table, closest to me.
Cause to me, that's exactly what it fucking looks like. And now, not only are you a fucking traitor, you're acting like a fucking pussy.
He suddenly slammed his fist down on the table, not making anyone jump except Stryker.
You have to the count of three to come clean,
Pop swore, never taking his fist off the table.
One,
he coaxed in a soft, calm voice.
I,
Stryker stammered, running his hands roughly through his silver hair, trying to find the words.
Two.
Prez, please, it's not what it looks like. We're fucking brothers. I love you. I love this fucking club. Please, you're my family. I
looked from Stryker back to my father. There was an eerie silence that filled the room, quiet before the storm. He narrowed his eyes at Stryker, cocking his head to the side, and murmured,
Three.
Before he even finished saying the number, he pulled out the semi-automatic from under the table, aiming directly at Stryker's head.
Bang, bang, motherfucker!
Pop's voice bellowed, followed by a deep chuckle.
Made you flinch, didn't I?
Stryker lowered his hands, placing them on his chest, laughing along with my old man.
You had me there for a second. I'm not gonna lie, asshole.
Pop swung the gun around his trigger finger a few times, stopping every time the barrel was aiming at Stryker like a damn game of fucking roulette, eyeing him with a menacing regard.
On second thought.
The gun went off, shooting Stryker right in the shoulder.
Then again in the groin, inches away from his cock, causing his body to jolt back from the unexpected blows.
His back hit the wall hard as he shuddered to the ground, groaning in pain. He had one hand holding his shoulder, the other his leg, with blood spewing from between his fingers. I didn't know what was worse, that no one in the room batted a fucking eye, or that I didn't either. Not one of us is shocked by my father's actions. Not one of us is surprised by the consequences of betrayal. Most of all, not one of us stunned by the sight of a man bleeding out in front of us. In four calculated strides, Pops is over to him, gently crouching down in front of his wounded body, getting close to his face, the gun inches away from Stryker's heart.
You got a cigarette?
He asked out of nowhere. Stryker leaned his head back against the wall, blood seeping from the corners of his chewing tobacco-filled lips, as if he already knew his fate and the only thing he had left to do was to accept it. I always knew my father wasn't a man you'd ever want to fuck with. Stryker knew that, too. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to believe that maybe this is all one big misunderstanding. As much as I thought he was a crooked son bitch,
he did love my father and the club,
proving his loyalty hand over fist time and time again.
No, why?
Stryker bellowed.
Pop deviously grinned, leaning into his face.
Because I like to have a smoke after I get fucked.
Prez, I didn't...
He shoved the barrel of the gun into his heart.
Shh. Save your breath for the devil. We all know you're going to fucking hell.
He got closer, making the sign of the cross as he murmured.
Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. And all that fucking shit.
With that, he pulled the trigger. One solid blow. Killing his best friend without so much a blink of an eye. Except this time, his blood was on my hands. I provided the evidence, sold his soul to the press, and signed his death certificate all in a matter of hours. My father may have pulled the trigger, but he would never have put him to ground if it wasn't for me.
Chapter 3. Creed.
One down. Now where were we?
Pops declared, sitting back down at the head of the table, cracking his knuckles one by one. Exercising his power and getting off on the fact that he just killed a man point blank, thriving on the adrenaline that only taking someone's life always gave him. No one gave a flying fuck that there was a dead body in the room.
This wasn't the first time I saw someone murdered in cold blood, and it wouldn't be the last. I wish I could say I wasn't desensitized to the cruel brutality of the world, here one day and gone the next. As fucked up as it was, we protected our own. Oh, yes, Pop stated, pulling me away from my thoughts. Four faces projected up on the wall. These cocksuckers. This is all extremely entertaining. The shooting and all. Bravo, Martinez interrupted, lighting his cigar, clapping his hands. But what the fuck does this all have to do with me? He questioned, blowing smoke out between his words. I'm a very busy man, and as much as I like what you have going on here, I don't have time for it. So, let's cut to the chase. I have other places to be. Creed spent the last few weeks following that fucking traitor over there around. Not only did he find the proof we needed, he also got the USB file back. He pulled it out of his pocket and threw it onto the middle of the table. It contained orders, serial numbers, and shipment schedules for the next month. They could have intercepted all the gun and drug cartels from here to fucking Cuba. Creed saved our asses. Martinez arched an eyebrow. You call me in this meeting based on what a fucking child found? Creed? Dad gritted out, cutting me off. I've had suspicions about Stryker for a while now, having Creed follow him around for the last few weeks. I sent him because Stryker wouldn't suspect Creed. He also wouldn't be looking out for him like he would anyone else if he started getting suspicious. I found the opportunity to test my boy, and I took it. A man of your stature could understand that, yeah? I wouldn't send a boy to do a man's work, Martinez argued, shaking his head. I didn't falter. How can you let this piece of shit in our territory and talk to you like that? If it was anyone else, he'd be laying on the goddamn floor, bleeding out next to Stryker. I interjected, not giving a shit anymore. Enough, Creed, Dad snarled. No, Jameson, the kid's right, Martinez chimed in, bringing our attention back to him. Where are my manners? He took a long puff of his cigar, snubbing it out, blowing a ring of smoke in the air. Let's hear it, son. I dare you to fucking impress me, he added, gesturing for me to take the lead. I glanced over at my father, and he nodded. Pushing off the wall, I walked to the front of the room, feeling everyone's eyes on me. One pair in particular burning a hole right through my body. I cleared my throat, making my presence known. These four men, I pointed to each of them on the wall. Hunter, Cross, Cruz, and Felix are the men Stryker was in alliance with. They're from San Antonio, trafficking women from across the border, selling them off to the highest bidder. They wanted in on our turf, seeing as though Southport has access to water, easier to transport not only the women but also the drugs and guns. They wanted in on the club's routes to catch us with our fucking pants down and our cocks out. Stryker was making it easier for them by handing them that USB stick. I don't know what was on there until this afternoon when Pops and I looked it over. After Stryker left, I went in blind. I should have called in for backup, but I'd rather commit crimes by my fucking self. Only way I know who's gonna fucking snitch on me. He fell on me, but I got the USB. The bullet grazed my shoulder as I made a run for it. Didn't get followed. Made sure of it. Unless you put them to ground, Martinez mimicked in a southern tone. You made sure of. I threw four grenade clips on the table in front of him. Two would have done the job, but four is more my style. He guided the clips for a few seconds, then turned his attention back to me. I personally would have tortured them until they gave up names. Instead, here we are with nothing but grenade clips. Rookie mistake. You giving me shit? I'm giving you a lesson, boy. I narrowed my eyes at him. I'll be sure to remember that. Next time I'm wiping my fucking ass. On that note, Pops chimed in, hitting the gavel down on the table. Score, Devil's Rejects 4. Sinner's Rejoice 0. Meeting adjourned. Diesel, get one of the other prospects to clean this fucking mess. He nodded towards Stryker. Time to get fucked up. Banner filled the air as everyone stood and headed out the door, stepping over Stryker's limp body on the way out like he was just taking a nap. I walked past Martinez, knocking into him like he had done to me earlier, ignoring the shooting pain in my shoulder once again. After everyone picked up their guns and headed out, leaving to get ready for the night, including Martinez, who more than likely was too good to attend a party with a bunch of biker rednecks, I went and hung out with Luke and Noah to kill the time. Mom must have come back sometime during the meeting. The boys were out back playing some ball while she was in the kitchen with the other old ladies preparing for a night that promised to be nothing but a good fucking time with booze, drugs, whores, and the occasional casualties. The club always threw parties after business was taken care of in the meetings. Old ladies usually weren't allowed to attend, but my father must have made an exception this time, probably trying to play nice with my mother.
making up for the altercation I knew must have happened earlier with Krista. She happened to be nowhere to be found tonight, which was odd since she was on the property all the time. I'm sure my father had something to do with her absence. On nights when both my parents were at the clubhouse, Luke and Noah would hang out in Dad's room, playing video games and staying out of everyone's way. Neither one of them ever showed any interest in the MC life. After helping Ma get the boys situated in Pop's room at the back of the clubhouse, I joined some of the members outside for a few drinks. They congratulated me for my contribution to the club's and brotherhood's well-being, wanting to hear how it all went down. As the night progressed, people started scattering everywhere. The clubhouse is busting at the seams, inside and out. Everyone's shooting the shit and getting fucked up. Colorful lights dancing sync to the music blaring through the speakers, filling the night air with a combination of rock, oldies, and blues. People playing pool and darts for money, snorting lines of coke, smoking weed and cigarettes while whores found brothers' cocks to grind on to the beat of the music. I made my rounds, flirting up new girls, gaining potential pussy, all while avoiding the chicks that I already had the pleasure of pissing off. I walked back inside, sifting through the crowd, going straight to the makeshift bar, stopping dead in my tracks when I saw him, wondering when the fuck he rolled back in. The fuck? I said to myself, watching my mother and that motherfucker Martinez at the bar. Standing too fucking close to each other, talking in an intimate way, I watched from afar, ignoring everyone around me, shocked as shit what was happening in front of my very own eyes. Creed, fuck man, you are one badass son of a bitch, Phoenix greeted, patting me on the back. I shrugged him off, focusing all my attention back at the fuckery going down before me. What the fuck, bro? He asked, not understanding my sudden swinging mood. I didn't pay him any mind, too consumed by Martinez and my mother enjoying themselves like they was on their first goddamn date. My vision tunneled, the music muffled in the background. All I could hear is my heart pounding out of my chest with every second that passed between them. Didn't matter that she was wearing her cut through the property of Jameson, letting everyone know who she belonged to. Including him. He must have had a death wish coming in here and disrespecting my father, who I hadn't seen all night. My mother was fucking gorgeous, but she was also taken and not to be fucked with, especially the way he was eyeing her with a predatory regard. He leaned forward, whispering something in her ear. Her head fell back in laughter, bringing her breasts inches away from his face, exposing herself through the tight black tank she wore under her cut. His eyes shifted down and a devilish grin marred his face. It was quick, but I caught it. His words, "Very nice tits if I remember correctly," played over and over in my head like a goddamn broken record. I shook off the thought as my mother swung her long blonde hair to one shoulder, grabbing the piece and twirling it around her finger like she was a fucking schoolgirl. She continued to speak to him, his attention hanging on every word that fell from her lips, as if she were telling him her life story. When the bastard laughed or smiled, her eyes would light up like a goddamn Christmas tree, the way they used to for my old man. Clinking their bottles together, eyeing each other, more laughter, more touching, more banter. I wanted to look away, wanted to fuck off and get another drink, but I couldn't. If it were anybody else's old lady, I wouldn't give a flying fuck. But the devil was seducing my mother, and that shit didn't fly with me. I saw him reach over to brush a strand of blonde hair away from her face, and it took every ounce of my being not to lose my shit. He let his fingers linger there a little too long, caressing the side of her cheek with the back of his hand. It wasn't until he leaned in and kissed where his fingers had just been. That made me snap. Before I realized what I was doing, I rolled up to Stone, who was on the opposite end of the bar. Without any hesitation, I pulled the Glock from the back of his jeans, cocking the gun, making it over to them in three strides, aiming the loaded pistol to the side of his pretty boy fucking face. "You sorry-ass motherfucker," I drawled out, pressing the gun into his temple.
"Creed!"
my mother shrieked, taken back. Stone came running over. "Creed, back the fuck down now! You don't know who you're fucking messing with!" He grabbed a hold of my injured shoulder, trying to turn me so he could grab the pistol. "Ugh, motherfucker!" I growled out in pain, but I didn't falter. "We need to stop meeting like this, son," Martinez casually said, not fazed by the loaded gun to his fucking head. "I ain't your fucking son!"
"Creed, put the gun down, now!"
Mom pleaded, reaching for my arm. I roughly pushed her hand away, causing her to stumble. "You should really listen to your mother, boy. She's the only smart one in your family,